You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Golf Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kalniv and Dave Tindall. Ready and waiting to preview the Qatar Masters and the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week. First of all, good morning to Mr. Dave Tindall, who's sitting across from me in the studio. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to this week, despite the absence of Tiger Woods, which we'll come to very shortly. It is a shame. But yeah, we've got two good events. The Qatar Masters is slightly below par in terms of quality, but the Arnold Palmer Invitational more than makes up for it. So looking forward to that. And yeah, should be a good golfing week. Let's start off with last week, though, first of all. Kurt Kitayama prevailing in Oman. His second tour title in 11 starts at a windswept Oman. And the golf course looked fantastic. Great test for the week as well. And clearly, Kitayama gets the scent of a win in his nostrils and takes it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, what did he do to start the final day with a quad,
which is unheard of. Not many people make an eight and go on to win a golf tournament.
Yeah, I suppose he still had two rounds, didn't he, to correct it, but it was one of those. It shows, doesn't it, if you put yourself there enough times, not that he has, but if you put yourself there, you might just have everyone else not quite, you know, take it off you. So he just kept going, didn't think, well, that's me gone, I'll you know, crack on from here, post a score and see what happens. And then he got it done, so fair play to him. I know our colleague Matt Cooper, our friend Matt Cooper, I think had a nice touch on him.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I didn't realise that.
Along from like the start, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
Obviously giving it up. He texted me, said, how can he have won when he started with a quad? So
yeah.
I was out and about and I checked it and went, really, he's won? So that was weird. But yeah, it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic. I did watch the closing 6-7 holes, and there were clearly nerves playing a part at that point. But it was a really tough test as well, and that cannot be understated.
Yeah, I mean, we almost got the same in America, didn't we? I like it when someone with Ryan Palmer posted a score, and I think he went favourite, didn't he?
Go favourite, yeah.
And you're thinking it's one of these ones where, because that's a tough course, but the weather went the other way, didn't it? Calmed down and a few surged past him. But they're always interesting, those events, when you get someone flying out early, putting a score in.
Good winner in Keith Mitchell as well. Played brilliantly on the back nine to take the Honda Classic at PGA National.
And what did we talk about when we played golf on Friday
morning?
Who did you mention?
I mentioned Keith Mitchell. I mean, this is going to sound like horrible after timing. I didn't back him.
No.
But I said he was 100-1, and I'd read your piece with Josh Culp.
Yeah.
That was on Roto World, and he was talking about the switch to Bermuda grass and how it was going to highlight a number of players, including Tiger Woods. And Keith Mitchell was a name he dropped in there.
Yeah.
I'd looked on Thursday night after his round to check on his stats for the opening round, and he'd been so solid from tee to green and not putted well. He was out early on Friday morning, and he was three figures, and I didn't pull the trigger, and I live to regret that, obviously.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd maybe missed that and then had other chances to back him and thought, well, I'll get something from the mention of him this week. But one of those ones, sometimes you
We didn't talk about him on the podcast. Let's full transparency here.
Yeah, no, it was something that sort of a bit of a coincidence that came to light.
Yeah.
I've often played him for first round leader before, but it was just one of those ones where you sit and watch it and thinking, well, I could still back him now. Why don't I just avoid the sort of horror show of him winning? And you keep thinking that, and his price goes down, and you just don't pull the trigger.
It was clutch, wasn't it, though? Because he looked like he was going to drop away on the final round. And then to make four birdies in his last seven holes on a demanding track like PGA National is no mean feat.
Fantastic, and especially with Brooks Koepka just being Brooks Koepka, just, you know, holing 5-6 foot putts. You know he's going to make them, don't you, when he gets a sense of victory. You just thought, this is Brooks Koepka in major mode. He's just going to come and win this and... thank you very much. And then someone beat him to it.
Yeah, and then Ricky Fowler made a run as well. Yeah. It was a really entertaining final round on a quality golf course.
Yeah, exactly. And we should start, you know, our hashtag Your Odds, which we'll come on to later. If we just played these as singles, we'd be miles up, wouldn't we? So I had Lucas Glover at 11-2.
Yes.
For a top 10. Thank you very much. Lands in there, but we didn't get the double.
No, we're going to get one of these doubles shortly.
You were on Greo, which Josh had mentioned is another player to look for in Florida, but we were sort of on the wrong one.
Let's talk about this week then. We'll start with the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters 2019 and the change in the scheduling, with this event moving from a slot in the first Middle East swing to this position at the beginning of March has seriously affected the quality of the event, with a lot of the leading European lights focused on building up to the Players' Championship next week, either by resting or taking in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which we'll come to shortly. That means Thomas Peters, who's desperate for a tour title, makes the trip from Oman to Qatar for the event, and he's clear market leader here with William Hill at 9-1. Jordan Smith is 16s, Tom Lewis 20-1, Alexander Bjork is 25s, Mike Lorenzo Vera and Victor Dubuisson both 25s as well. Fabrizio Zanotti is 28-1, Clemence Saudet, who didn't do a lot wrong last week, 33s, along with Jorge Campillo. Ross Fisher is 33s as well, as is Thomas Dietrich, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And all you have to do is look at the roll call of winners at this venue in Doha to determine that players that can control their ball in the wind have a significant advantage this week. Paul Laurie won the event in 2012. Eddie Pepple won it last year. Sergio Garcia and Chris Wood have also prevailed at Doha. All noted links specialists, and that's the angle that many punters have used to lead them to their picks this week.
Yeah, that's it's a very obvious link there, isn't it? And yeah, a shame that it's a weakened field, but sometimes these events can throw up nice winners, can't they? You sort of look beyond the obvious. But one extra bit that I've used this week is the Bermuda grass. It's described as particularly grainy, isn't it? Some of the South African winners have said it's almost extra grainy and it's more familiar to them from what they play in South Africa. And you've got Brandon Grace has mentioned it a couple of times, and he's a back-to-back winner here. Ernie Els has won here. So one of my picks is a South African. I don't know whether you've gone down that route.
One of my picks won in South Africa.
Well, there you go. That's good enough.
That's good enough. As for the course itself, a par 72 measures 7,400 yards. And as you noted in your piece for Roto World, Dave, that you penned earlier this week, Peter Harradine is the designer, and he's also responsible for the course used to host the event in Abu Dhabi. So that's maybe a form line worth exploring this week. And we mentioned wind. It's really set to blow as well throughout the 4 days. The course is exposed. It's quite a wide course, isn't it? So you can get away with it off the tee, but it is exposed and open to the elements.
Yeah, and you're going to miss greens as well. So scrambling has seemed to be an important factor with previous winners. So that's an angle I've looked at as well. You can keep getting it up and down when you miss the greens.
Scrambling stats have been quite high, haven't they, in terms of conversion percentage when missing the greens. So it's not necessarily that difficult a golf course to scramble on, but you've noted that the winners of the event have ranked high in that statistic.
Yeah. So I'm looking at that certainly. I've got two picks.
You lead off. Are you starting off with your South
African? I'll go with my South African to start with. And it's a bit, I think, maybe been flogging him a little bit, just waiting for him to come in. Justin Harding.
Yeah, 50-1.
Yeah. He's just still can't get away from the fact that in this field, he's 50-1 and he's the world number 74, which is head and shoulders above most of these. I do worry he's possibly gone off the boil a little bit, which, you know, miscutting a man last week. That was his first knock since Australia. He did play well in Australia, 26 at the World Super 6 Perth, 4th in the Victorian Open. So there's a bit of a gap between him coming to Oman maybe it's no bad thing that he got out of there at halfway. You know, he wasn't buffeted around for two more days in the wind, so he might just be able to reset himself.
You can look at that from both angles, can't you? Because the conditions, no man, likely to be pretty similar to this week in
Qatar.
So you
could say, oh, he's rubbish in the wind. Or
you can or you can like bend the narrative slightly.
Yeah, or you can just say, well, he had a bad week and that's, you know, wasn't for him, that course.
You might find out more on Sunday, might you? Sunday afternoon when someone stood there holding the trophy.
Yes.
Whether a full week in Oman was a good thing or a bad thing.
Exactly, yeah. But the course is just some obvious differences, I think. And I think Qatar might be a good one for him. He's a very good scrambler. Look at his scrambling stats. He was ranked first for scrambling in Dubai when he was 7th, 11th in the Saudi International. So he's got the desert form under his belt. If you're thinking, oh, he can't play in the desert. So he's certainly got that going for him. And has just made this big run up the world rankings to be on the cusp of getting in the world match play top 64. It might sort of go to a few more if you skip it. Yeah. So he's 74, and I think this is perhaps a final chance to really nail something down for him. And yeah, Oman, we can all have a bad week, and I'm just hoping that that's not the sign of him dropping away. I hope it's just a one-off.
My player that I've gone for is a number one selection, maybe, was 50s. He's just been clipped into 45-1. Chris Wood, I like this week.
Bit of a risk, isn't it?
Bit of a risk with the Bristolian. No shame in missing the cut last week, given that he'd been absent for so long, 3 months off. And I thought it was encouraging to see him make plenty of birdies in his two rounds last week. And in a weak field, that should hopefully have put him spot on for this week. At his best, he's obviously one of the class acts in the field and brings a very strong bank of course form into the event, which I think will be absolutely critical this week. He won it in 2013. That was his first win on tour. And he has four other top 20s in Doha as well. There's the obvious risk that he's not over the injury yet, but that's more than built into the price as far as I'm concerned. And he's just welcomed his second child as well, so the nappy factor is there with Chris Wood. And that was always the plan, injury or no injury, to start off his season in Oman and then come here to Qatar. And he only missed the cut on the number last week, so I think he can go well, Chris Wood. And I thought 45-1, maybe a spot of value in a weak field.
Yeah,
but obviously it does come with risks because we're not 100% sure whether he's fully over the injury.
Yeah, but you know, you can the price. If you're backing him at 20s, I'd say, well, I don't know about that. But 45s, you've got a bit of leeway.
I'd say he's my second strong. I'd said number one pick, but I'd say he's my second strongest pick this week.
Oh, you're doing them in reverse. You're teasing us.
Doing them in reverse this week.
Right.
My second strongest pick to come. He's the South African winner, by the way. Okay. Dave, your second selection?
Yeah, I'm going to go with David Horsey.
Right, okay.
At 80-1, I think he is. Yes, there he is. He almost lost his card, absolutely dice with death and with his playing privileges at the end of last season. He tweeted, I don't want to go through that again. Too close. Not, you know, I can't put myself through that anymore. And he seems to have maybe taken it on board that he needs to just, you know, a bit of a warning sign. And he's come out and he's played two really good events in the desert, 11th in Abu Dhabi, and he was 12th in Oman last week. He's got two miscuts in Dubai and Saudi, but, you know, not by much. He was shooting 70-71s there. So I like his desert form, his recent desert form. I think this is a player who maybe just reevaluated a touch and it's given him a kick up the backside. And then you come to his course form. So he's played those four desert events, two really good ones, two not so good. And at Doha, tied 20th on debut. Wasn't so good the next 2 years, but he still made the cut. But then he returned to this venue after a five-year gap and shot 71, 68, 65, 72 to finish tied 13th. So that 65 on Saturday was a particularly good lap of the course. So he's just got a fairly nice mix of course form and current form. And maybe just what gets me over the edge is the fact that he was so close to losing his card that he's, you know, he's got some extra focus.
Okay, David Horsey at 80-1 is Dave's second selection. I'm going with another Englishman as my second pick, Chris Paisley.
Right, yes.
Is number two for me, or number one for me, 40-1. He's obviously more solid than Wood In terms of a betting proposition this week, but slightly shorter price. Had his breakthrough win in the South African Open last season, which bodes well given what you mentioned about the South Africans talking about the graininess of the greens this week. And he followed that with a tie for fifth in Abu Dhabi, which is a nice little link given that Peter Haradine designs both those courses. So he's got that desert form in the book, and we mentioned obviously that link earlier on in the podcast. He's finished 13th in this tournament a couple of years ago, which was a major improvement on what he'd shown before. And he played in Oman last week and was 9th and ranked 5th for greens in regulation, which bodes very well for his tournament chances this week. And I thought 40-1 was reasonable for Chris Paisley.
Yeah, a pair of Chris's for you then.
Pair of Chris's. I nearly went with a pair of Patrick's in the Arnold Palmer, so we'll come to that very shortly. Didn't in the end. Any others you want to mention in Qatar before we move on to
If I had a third pick, and close to doing one, but three's maybe a bit too much, I would have gone for Victor Dubuisson at 25.
Can see that.
Did you read that blog he did? You know, players take it in turns to do the European Tour blog. He did one in November where... surprisingly, they sort of got him to do it because he's a man of few words and you don't know what on earth he's ever up to.
Yeah.
But he was quite very open, saying he'd had 7 months off with a perforated eardrum. And you think, really? Was that the case? You're never quite sure. But he took time off.
It affected his balance, didn't it, I think?
Yeah, reevaluated. Because sometimes you just think he just wants to withdraw and he'll find... a reason
an
to
excuse.
He just doesn't want to.
Yeah,
but he stopped drinking wine, he's lost a lot of weight, he watched every shot of the Ryder Cup. He said, well, it wouldn't have surprised you if you said, oh no, I was walking in the hills, I didn't see any of it. You know, he would have snubbed it because he's not there and he just didn't fancy it. Having played in it before, it would have been too painful to watch. But no, he seemed really engaged with watching it, and he's come back with some really nice form, hasn't he, through the desert last few weeks. So I think he could definitely play a big part. And, you know, on talent, we've sort of picked players who maybe bigger than they would be. Obviously, talented players like Chris Wood, Chris Paisley, won in South Africa last year. I've picked a world number 74. And Dubuisson, on talent,
yeah,
he wins this probably. Him and Peters would probably be the two most talented players in the field.
No, I agree. Victor Dubuisson, he's finished 9th here 3 times in succession, didn't he?
He's got the course form, yeah, which is sort of... very quirkily to finish exactly tied 9th 3 times.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Yes.
But obviously played well last week. He's bouncing,
he's close,
back, isn't he? He's close.
Yes.
Victor Dubuisson 25-1. I can see that. I like Tom Lewis as well.
Yeah.
At 20-1. He's been pretty highly touted this week, and you can see why he's got good links form, and he's on the rise again, isn't he?
Yeah.
After his spell in the doldrums, so you could easily see him performing well, but 20 is a bit skinny now.
Yeah, I looked at Bradley Dredge a bit further down at 66s. He's got a couple of top fives at the course. Won 2016. Also top 25 2017. He's playing quite well as well. Dubai 24th, 13th at Saudi. So you could put those two together.
Let's move on to the Arnold Palmer Invitational 2019. Rory McIlroy 13-2 to win the events. Brooks Koepka is 10-1. Justin Rose is 10-1. Ricky Fowler 12-1. Jason Day is 14s. Bryson DeChambeau is 16-1. 25-1 Francesco Molinari, Hideki Matsuyama and Mark Leishman. And 33-1 and bigger the rest. And the Florida Swing continuing with one of the most iconic events on the schedule, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill Golf Club, and it's hosting for the 41st time this week. The par at this venue has changed down the years, but now it's a stock par 72, measures just under 7,500 yards. The greens are Tiff Eagle Bermuda, so those that acclimatised last week at the Honda might have a slight advantage. But these greens are quicker than last week at PGA National, and the rough is reportedly longer than it has been in previous editions as well. Golf betting system. The website had a quote from the superintendent, Chris Flynn, who's taken strides to returning the layout closer to the original. And he said and it's been picked up by Golf Betting System, that in addition to extensive tree trimming, we widened and lengthened all the fairways, and to balance out the fairway changes, we also removed a lot of the rough areas in front of the water hazards and the bunkers. These areas have traditionally served as backstops for the players, but now there's a higher chance of your ball rolling into those hazards. We've also made the traditionally high rough even higher than in the past, which maybe adds a little bit of a wrinkle to the event.
Yeah, possibly. Isn't there that quote from Arnie back in the day where he said he wanted it to play like a US Open off the tee, but like the Masters around the greens?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got the first bit right, to be honest. Think of Arnold Palmer, of course, he's been tough off the tee, do you really? You think he, you know, they play in his mould and you can have a bit of a larrup with the driver.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting quotes, those.
And Tiger Woods withdrawn in the lead up to the championship. I tweeted out, because William Hill are going up first on both tournaments every single week at the moment, and they opened up, or we opened up, 16-1 at Tiger Woods, which I thought was criminally overpriced, and told everyone this price will not last. It didn't last.
I think Tiger must have heard, looked round and then done his neck.
It was cut to about 9-1, I think, just before he withdrew. Yeah. But yeah, he's out, and you never quite know with Tiger, do you, where the severity of the issue nowadays. He said it's just a slight neck strain that's been plaguing him for the last few weeks, and he's taken the decision to pull out because it's not quite right to get ready and hopefully come back for the Players' Championship at Sawgrass next week. But you're never quite sure nowadays with Tiger, or I'm not anywhere.
Yeah, plus it's one of the ones that I think if he'd been 60-40, he would have played, or 50-50, might have just thought, you know what, it's one of my favourite events. I've won it 8 times.
Yeah.
Great chance for me to get another win. I'm coming in good form. So maybe it is just all about, I mean, he mentioned the Players' Championship. I think more, he's thinking of the Masters, isn't he?
I think
that's his thing, isn't it?
He's desperate to win another major championship, and the Masters comes first. So I think he's desperate to be spot on for the Masters. But maybe a slight surprise that he's not tried to be fit for Bay Hill, given that incredible record.
Yeah.
He obviously knows his own body better than anyone. What are the keys to succeeding at Bay Hill, in your opinion?
Scrambling again, like around the green is important. Obviously, very fast green. So, I mean, there's water in play. The shaved runoff areas that become more maybe Augusta-like in recent times. So I think Augusta National is quite a good correlating course for this one. Obviously, Tiger would back that up. You've got Rory winning it last year. That sort of supports that. I think it's one of those ones where you've had a lot of back-to-back winners, which is a bit odd. I mean, Tiger, but
Matt Every.
what's that about? It's also, I think, quite...
He's actually coming into this in pretty much his best shape as he's ever come into it. He's 80-1, Matt Every.
It's also been a good course for the elite European players. McIlroy was first last time, and Rose and Stenson third and fourth, so I've got a Euro pick, big name Euro, in my team.
I've not, but I've got a Masters champion on my list.
I've got him as well in our other little venture.
Yeah, hashtag your odds. I'll lead off then.
You go then with him.
The Masters champion, defending Masters champion. Patrick Reed is my number one selection. I thought 40-1 was
surprisingly big. Yeah.
Very nice. I think he's got an outstanding chance. He's finished inside the top 25 in 5 of his last 6 starts, so he's bubbling away nicely at the moment, Patrick Reed. He was 14th in the WGC Mexico Championship on his latest start, but that kind of obscures how well he played in that event. He was in the final group going into Sunday, played alongside Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy before faltering in the final round, and he very much enjoys playing in Florida. Obviously, these big events get his juices flowing as well. He's 6th on the season in strokes gained putting, and we saw McIlroy last year blitz the field with the flat stick, and he was 7th at Bay Hill last year as well, Patrick Reed. I think the golf course suits him, and he might contend this week, and I thought 40-1 was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I've gone for him top 10. We'll come on to that a little bit more.
Is there anything you want to add about Patrick Reed?
You've said it all, Dave.
Okay.
You've said it all. I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Who Well, it's a bit pointless because you could have 85 guesses, but who do you think might have finished top of strokes game putting last week? Anyone take your eye thinking, oh, they're holing everything?
Oh,
I'll give you one guess. To...
Wyndham Clark?
No, it was Billy Horschel.
Was it?
Mm.
That's interesting.
It is interesting because if you said who was number one in ball striking last week, you might have gone, Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
So he sort of did the thing that he's least famous for. So my theory this week is if he then tacks on his ball striking onto that hot putter, he could be a big runner this week. He was 16th at the Honda Classic, opened and closed with rounds of 67, so started well, left the course in positive mood. As I say, I think he gained over 9 strokes with the putter, so that was really good. But his iron play wasn't as good, but you expect that's the thing you can rely on, and you know, I'm sure he can sort that out quicker than, because that's what he's done, you know, down the years.
Yeah.
He was 8th at Torrey Pines, then he's gone 38th Phoenix, 45th Mexico, but he's come back nicely, got the positive forward momentum going again at the Honda Classic, the return to Florida, which clearly has suited him on the greens. You always put him up for the players, don't
yeah,
you?
I do, yeah.
So it might be one of those ones where, oh, you've won a week too early, mate. What are you doing?
I might approach that with slightly more trepidation than usual this year because he's burnt me a couple of times. Yes.
Well, play him on a different Florida course.
Yeah, to be fair, he has played well at Sawgrass in the past as well.
But he's played pretty well here at Bay Hill as well. Last 3 years, he was 20th in 2016, 13th 2017. He was also in the top 20 going into the last day last year, but had a bit of a mare with a 77. But it's a course where he's made every cut he's played. It's Florida. He's got the hot putter going well on these Bermuda greens. I thought 50s was good, and then I just checked and he's gone to 45, so I think a few people have had a nibble, but yeah. I'm happy to play him at 45s on Billy Horschel because I think when he starts, you know, maybe the putter was the missing element and that was the thing that got him going last week, but if he can just pair the two up, his ball strike, and I think it will watch out.
45-1, Billy Horschel is Dave's number one pick. My second selection, I'm going with Aaron Wise, taking a flyer. 125-1 on Wise this week. I think it could be a spot of value. He's undoubtedly, we all know he's a monster talent, Wise. I think we've been waiting to see a spark from him, which hinted at a return to form, and we got that in the WGC Mexico a couple of weeks ago. He made loads of birdies and eventually finished inside the top 20, closing with a decent round of 67. Stats-wise, his performance was very appealing. He was 8th in strokes gained tee to green, which is very impressive on tournament debut on a quirky course, and if he'd putted better, he'd have finished higher up the board. And he's had one look at Bay Hill as well and took to it like a duck to water in calm conditions last year. Opened with a round of 65 on day one. Didn't quite pan out how he wanted subsequently. Finished in a tie for 41st. But with that PGA Tour win under his belt subsequently and his ball striking back a fortnight ago, I think he can surprise a few people this week. And 125-1 for a big talent stood out to me.
Yeah, interesting. I like it.
Second pick,
I certainly looked at Europeans given how well they did last year, and they did quite well the year before as well, and a lot of them live in Florida, and I think the Bermuda greens, they tend to like putting on those. So I've gone for, I mean, if you look at last year, it was McIlroy, Stenson, Rose. It wasn't a surprise European, it was a proper big gun Ryder Cup star, so yeah. Why not this time go for Mr. Ryder Cup, Francesco Molinari?
I did have a glance at Francesco Molinari. I think he'll play well, 25-1.
Yeah, I think what he's done well is after he's won the Open and then had that brilliant Ryder Cup, he's not gone around the world with a wheelbarrow just getting money, you know, cashing in left, right and centre and everything. He's kind of picked his moments and he's had a very quiet start to the year. You know, very level-headed guy, and I think that's a smart move. And finally got going again in Hawaii, the Tournament of Champions, but you could see he wasn't quite ready for that, 27th in a very limited field. But I thought he came back nicely in Mexico a couple of weeks ago to finish tied 17th. I thought that was a nice, there's the one, that's the one in the bank, I'm now ready to go. And I think this is the course where he steps it up,
yep,
and really, you know, reminds us what a massive talent he is and the great strides he showed last year. I mean, his course form is fantastic, isn't it? Three top tens in the last 5 years, a 17th in there as well, 26th last year. So every year he plays well. His worst is 34th, but those three top tens really take the eye as well. Six at the Players. I mean, the Players' Champ Sawgrass is another one you could really consider him backing him out. I mean, you'd say Bay Hill and Sawgrass are his two favourite US tracks.
Yeah,
down the years, both in Florida, so it makes sense that they should both be in the same state. And I think it was 28, so he's been trimmed a little bit. But I can see why people want to back Francesco Molinari a little bit. And if you've said about the rough being up, you don't want to be too wild, so I think that might just suit him as well. I think he's got everything you would need to do well here.
Yep, 25-1 Francesco Molinari. Just before we get onto the hashtag your odds then, some honourable mentions. Maybe talk about a few of the guys at the top of the market as well. McIlroy, it looks a bit short to me, 13-2. Been really cut since Tiger withdrew, which...
What was he before Tiger's withdrawal then?
Nine or ten. Yeah. I mean, yeah, 13-2 looks... I know he's in flying form and he's going to win, isn't he, soon, you'd think.
Yeah.
But he really rode a hot putter in this last year.
Yeah, it's one of those ones which he used to do, suddenly flew from sort of nowhere, and you think... he got that momentum which he used to get, and he was just unstoppable, but seems to have lost that in final rounds of late. But I think him... deciding I'm now on the PGA Tour for this year, I think it's cleared his head a little bit. He's not jumping back and forth.
Trying
to sort of please everybody. He's just right, I'm in America. He's got some flack for not playing the Irish Open, but I think he's fine with that because he knew this is what I'm going to do. I'm playing in America.
He's single-handedly resurrected that tournament.
Yeah, so he has
the criticism is
stupid,
just is beyond belief.
And articles written about that. Oh. And some players have stuck up for him, haven't they, saying, you know, can't have a go at Rory in that tournament. He's been brilliant for it. But yeah, definitely focusing on America has brought some of his, you know, mojo back, and not outside the top five. You could treat him as an each way bet to nothing, possibly. What helps him a little bit as well is the fact that you do get back-to-back winners, maybe, in this event.
Yeah,
I haven't done my annual, this is the tournament that I dreamt the winner once in. Remember that one?
No, I can't remember that story.
Long, long time ago when you were probably not alive. But Lauren Roberts, he was one of the back-to-back winners.
Right.
And he'd won in 1994, and he was 50-1 to win in 1995.
I think you have told this story on the podcast before.
And I went to bed on the Wednesday night, or maybe Tuesday night, and dreamt that he'd won again, and purely on the back of that dream, backed him at 50s and he won.
It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, okay, I'm going to eat the same food I did that night. Could never been able to replicate it. Let us know if you've had a golf dream.
I'm sure people will have.
Yeah, they've got to have won at the end of it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
At D. Kellner and at Dave Tindall Golf, I've had many golf dreams about certain players when I've been studying golf tournaments and gone to sleep, and they've never come to fruition, unfortunately.
No,
but I've never acted on them either.
I have a golf dream where I'm trying to put the tee in the ground, but I can't find a place where I can get a backswing, and I go on and then it's a beautiful course that Freud would have something to say
and
about.
An insight into the mind of Dave Tindall there.
What's that telling me,
listeners?
There's no snakes in or anything, but it's something's going on.
At D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, if you've ever dreamt a golf winner. Okay, so you like McIlroy, but not the price.
The price is probably
the price
the thing
is off-putting.
That put me off.
And any others at the top of the market interest you at all?
They're all there, aren't they? Possibly DeChambeau, just a little bit of value at 16s. Runner-up last year, demolished the par fives last year.
I agree. I think the top of the betting,
but
he's the one.
I don't like him at the minute.
No.
Because he's been a brat.
Others are worthy of mention Patrick Rogers was going to be the other Patrick that I thought would go well. 125-1.
Yeah, he was tied on the par fives last year. Him and DeChambeau played him in minus 12.
Yeah.
And
he's coming to a little bit of form, hasn't he, as well?
And I mentioned scrambling.
Got a couple of good finishes at Bear Hill.
Yeah, I mentioned scrambling as well. 20th and 7th he's got. I mentioned scrambling. Fifth in scramble, or strokes gained around the green last week.
Yeah.
Patrick Rogers, so the short game's there as well. He will win, won't he, Dave? Because he's got that record, hasn't he, at Stanford.
He will win eventually.
He's only 26, isn't he?
So yeah, I mean, there's still time, isn't there? Yeah. 125-1. Wouldn't buy exactly. anyone off that. I've gone with Wise over Rogers
pulling the
at
trigger
that price,
at that price,
yeah,
can't he?
Of course you can.
Have a few goes at him.
Others I like, Siwoo Kim, who's in great form, not got good course form, but I think 66-1 underestimates his chance. Lucas Glover, who you put up for a top 10 last week.
Yeah.
He's playing some incredible golf, isn't he? 50-1.
Well, he's got the thing with him, maybe like horse, he's got the putter going, hasn't he, Glover? He's made two really clutch putts, didn't he, down the stretch last week. So, yeah, there's no reason why he can't play well. Jason Kokrak, I thought you might have mentioned.
Oh, he's my hashtag your odds.
Oh, well, there
yeah,
you
so
go.
There you go. So that leads us into this nicely. Hashtag your odds this week. The hashtag your odds at time of recording hasn't been published on the website, but it will go on there. Maybe by the time the podcast is out, 16-1 is going to be the price for our hashtag your odds. And you're starting with one of my picks. I love this, obviously. Patrick Reed to finish in the top 10.
Yeah, he did that last year. 4-1, Patrick Reed for a top 10. I thought that's more than fair for a player of his quality.
And I'm going with Jason Kokrak to finish in the top 20.
Okay.
This week. Pretty straightforward. He's just in the form of his life at the moment. And he's finished inside the top 20 in four of his last five starts.
Yeah, so that's good.
Including a ninth last week at the Honda. Two top 10s in his last four visits to Bear Hill as well. I just see no reason why he shouldn't play well again. And a top 20 should be highly achievable for Jason Kokrak. And if you put those two together, Reed top 10, including ties, Kokrak top 20 including ties, 16-1, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, come on, this is the week, isn't it?
It should be. We're due, aren't we?
Have we had one every time?
We've had one week where we've not had
where we've had a complete blank.
Yeah. So maybe play them as singles as well as a double.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kokrak top 20 is my hashtag your odds pick, and Dave going with Reed top 10, 16-1 for the double including the ties, which is important. Dave, who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Be a bit boring to say McIlroy. Well, Bryson DeChambeau for two reasons. One, for him being a bit of an arse at the moment and being petulant. And to be fair to him, I think he's a great golfer, isn't he? He's got a great chance of winning. So if he wins at 16s, I will feel I've avoided him for silly reasons.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think DeChambeau is the top of the betting, definitely, in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, is the one that I wouldn't want to see win this week.
Yeah.
Thank you for your company, Dave.
Thank you.
I think we've rattled on long enough there. At Dave Tindall Golf, if you want to follow Dave on Twitter, you can follow myself at D Kellner. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com, including that hashtag your odds when it pops up on the William Hill website later on in the afternoon. And myself and Dave will be back next week for the Players Championship. Looking forward to that. We'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. If you're having a bet on the golf this week with William Hill, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.